Well, I'm thankful what was just read there, that God can change the picture overnight. And I've seen Him do it quicker than that. That's the kind of God we serve. And maybe sometimes it takes several nights. You never know. But God in His wisdom knows how to order all that. And I'm thankful that, as the Scripture says, the government's on His shoulder. It's not on mine. I couldn't handle it. It's not on yours. You couldn't handle it either. And it's not on all of us collectively. It's on the Lord. So I'm thankful for that. I have a little part to share tonight. I felt impressed to maybe have a part two to this morning. Didn't feel like I got it all out and had some more things was blessed with. So by the Lord's help, we'll pick up on the same verse. I want to read it again. This morning we talked about the secret of the Lord, and this is still the secret of the Lord, but the last part of that verse, we'll just read it, Psalms 25 and 14. It says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him." We focused on that phrase this morning. But the last part is very important as well. It says, He will shew them His covenant. So, first of all, we talked this morning about the secret place, or the secrets that God wants to share with us in that secret place, and that is through His Word, and that it's available to all of us to read it, study it, apply it. But it goes beyond that. There is, and specifically it says here, His covenant. He will show us His covenant. And a covenant is simply a compact, a league, or agreement. And I look at it, the easiest for me to describe it is all of God's promises. And if you look at this, God wants to see and wants to share all of His wonderful promises, not just with the children of Israel in the Old Testament, but with all of us. It's something that the Scripture says, He's not willing that any should perish. So it's not just for the Jews, but it's for the Jews and Gentiles alike. And that includes all of us as Gentiles. That He wants to impart to us His saving power, not just to save us, that is the most important, but to also keep us, okay? And through that, He's promised, I'm not going to take time to read all these promises tonight, but He's promised to give us that sustaining grace and that power, that strength to endure, as the Scripture says, unto the end. Looking at the covenant in particular, that's what I want to focus on tonight. Exactly what is this covenant? Well, the covenant started with Abraham. You remember what God promised Abraham before he even had a son? What did He promise him? Anyone? What did God promise Abraham? Yes, exactly. Now, has anyone ever numbered those? No. You can't even attempt to number the sands of the sea or the stars in the heaven. It's without end is the point. And that's what I think God was trying to allude to, is this kingdom is without end. That it's for anyone and everyone forever. That's what He wanted for all of mankind. Okay? Not just for the children of Israel, but to expand upon that. So then it went from Abraham to Moses. You remember when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And you could say that was the beginning of this covenant with the children of Israel. But it didn't stop there. This covenant was rather extensive. First of all, you could say, remember when God wanted the children of Israel, saying, okay, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, you know, the land with the giants. And you remember the story. They went out and spied and like, nope, 10 of them said, there's no way. And Joshua and Caleb said, yes, with the Lord's help, we can. Well, they failed. So for 40 years, they're wandering around the wilderness. And we'll read some scriptures here in a little bit, towards the end of that. Moses talking to the children of Israel. But started with the Ten Commandments, then there's all these laws. And if you read the book of Deuteronomy, you will see it's rather extensive. And there's even more in the Jews have written down in various books. Of all the meticulous laws, the laws of how they were to worship with the tabernacle and the temple, and the laws of daily conduct, and the moral laws, and the laws of hygiene, and the laws, all these things just meticulously laid out. And to get a little taste of that, if you were to, those of you that have not seen the large-scale replica of the tabernacle down there at Eureka Springs, I believe it is, very impressive. It's very, I like those type of things. Better than just hear things, I like to see things in person. And to see that and how it's represented and how meticulous God was with every little detail, the types of thread that they were to use, the color of the cloth, like, does that really matter? Yes, to God it does. But because He's pointing towards another day, type and shadow of us being the tabernacle, the temple of God, very meticulous about how He wants us to keep our souls with Him. Well, so we have all the Ten Commandments, all the rules of worship, the moral laws and hygiene and all those things. And His promise was, and then of course promise in the land of Canaan, but they're going to have to go, you know, fight. And God just wasn't going to go, here you go, and give them to them. They had to take some action. But the promise was, or the condition, I should say, was they were to obey over and over and over and over. He's like, if you obey my laws, I will bless you. I will protect you. I will deliver you all the way through. And that's where I want to turn and read in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. Again, this is talking about the covenant that God made with the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy, the 29th, there's several verses here I'll read just to give us a little taste of what this covenant was. We'll start with verse 1, Deuteronomy 29 and 1. It says, these are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which He made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and to all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles, yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that ye might know that I am the Lord your God. So you have here Moses reminding the children of Israel of all the things God had done for them. And he knew, Moses knew, that the children of Israel still weren't really getting it. It says here in the margin of mine, dullness. The children, they just didn't get it. They're like 40 years out here. You know, they were still, you know, a stiff-necked, stubborn type of people. And to prove that, you'll see from here on, there's still times where they're like, you know, and they'll back up on the Lord and backslide again and then ask forgiveness. And God would hear their prayers, forgive them again. But, again, reminding them of all the things God had done for them. And then it goes on, and when you came to this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us in the battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and the half a tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. You see, that was the condition. He's like, keep all these commandments, this covenant. Don't forget these things. Teach them to your children and your children's children. All right. Pass these things down. Don't forget all these things God has done. And keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that ye may prosper in all that ye do. You know, notice it doesn't say, and ye shall prosper in all of your crops or in all of your health or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's in all that you do. What does that include? Everything. There were some requests tonight for some temporal needs, requests for some physical needs and thanksgivings, requests for spiritual needs, all the in-between. That's everything. God was wanting to bless them in every aspect they had need of, and some. So this was the covenant God made with them. But it goes on. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood and from the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into this his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob. You see, God was working all this time. For several hundred years here, at least 400 or 500 years, God had a plan and was working since the time of Abraham to create, develop a people, a peculiar people. That was the children of Israel. And it was through Abraham's seed that he was wanting to bless the rest of the world. And guess what? He has done that. Because it's through the seed of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and all the way down through Jacob and all the 12 tribes of Israel, that the whole world has been blessed by Christians, period, dot. You understand what I'm saying? That through the life of Christ, through the believers, that God has been able to bless the whole world. We'll take, for instance, our nation, the United States of America. Do you believe that God has blessed this nation? I do. And do you realize that God has used, at least I believe this, our nation to bless others across the world, across the globe? What about all the missionaries that have gone to spread the gospel? How many stories have we heard of how one missionary would go over to, I think it was, what her name was, Faith Stewart, yes. I read some in her book and it was so impressive. I'm like, one lady, and look at the good that she did. And that's just one person I'm picking out of millions of missionaries, no doubt, throughout history. That was God's plan. But again, that the whole world might be blessed. Okay? So this was the covenant that he was establishing. This was the beginning stages of it. This was the covenant he was making with the children of Israel. Now, here's the interesting part. You may ask, well, how do we really fit into this? This was something he was making with the children of Israel. And that's true. And we're not Jews, literally. Okay? So let's read on. Verse 14. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath. Now take notice, verse 15. But with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. Thank the Lord. You know what that means? That includes you and I. That includes all of us. That this covenant was not just for the children of Israel. This covenant was for all of those that would follow God's ways and accept him as their God, all right, and obey his commandments, could participate in this covenant. Now, here's the awesome thing. This covenant, it's a Can you have a real covenant if only one side agrees? What about it? I don't think you can. To make a covenant, a league, that means both sides have to agree. That means there's action taking place on both sides. So our duty is, you know, here's the covenant, here's the law, here's the promises, whatever the case is. Our job is to believe and to trust and obey and take action, all right? To fear God, to reverence Him, okay? But then the other part is left up to God. He is the one that is to then act or in return give us the honoring His promises, giving us the things that He promised He would give us. And again, I don't have time to read through all of these promises tonight. But now let me ask you this. This was something God gave this covenant, these promises, way back here, roughly 4,000 years ago. And we'll ask it this way. Do you think you can make a promise to, say, the generation, four generations from now? Could you make a promise and guarantee them that you would prosper them four generations from now, roughly 100 years from now? Can you make a promise and actually fulfill it? Three generations. In other words, you promise, I'm going to provide such and such for whoever it is, you know, third, fourth, fifth generation down, I'm going to do such and such. You probably won't be able to fulfill that promise because more than likely, four or five generations, you won't be around. So you won't have any control over it. You may try to get a big bank account set up, but are you guaranteed anything? You know, the economy may, everything may crash around us. We don't know, but here's the thing. God's promises trickle down through all the ages, transcend any time. His promises are timeless. There's no limit. He promises He's going to be with us even until the end. That means through all of time and, of course, all eternity. But that's what's so amazing about. That's the fear and the reverence we should have towards God, that this is an eternal God. This is an all-powerful God. He can make good on His promises. All right. He's not going to change His mind and go back and mark out three or four lines in this covenant and say, well, I'm not going to do that part. I'm going to kind of change that. You know, you've been around people that'll do that. They make a promise and a commitment. And then maybe a few weeks later, you get a phone call. Oh, by the way, I really didn't mean such and such. I really just meant to do this part. And you're going, really? You promised this. Like, well, but I wasn't really thinking straight that day. Or I had these other things on my mind. I just didn't think it through all the way. And I thought of something else later. And there's just no way I can do that. Okay. All right. Well, that's the human side. That's our humanity. Because we are subject to fail. But guess what? God isn't. God has never failed, and God never will fail. He's not going to renege on His promises, this covenant that He's made, not just with the Jews, not just with the Israelites, but this was, let me read this again. But with Him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with Him that is not here with us this day. Thank the Lord. That comes all the way down to you and I. Now, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. And read a couple more scriptures in the book of Psalms, Psalms 31. You see, when you consider all of this, this is what the world misses out on. They don't comprehend this wonderful, all-inclusive package of salvation. That it takes in every aspect of our lives. That He is our all in all. He really is. Remember what the disciples said? To whom shall we go? Where else are we going to go to get our needs fulfilled? I'm talking about the needs of our soul. Okay? Not, yes, our physical needs, I agree. God will, He's going to heal us. He'll provide for us and all those things. But much more importantly, the needs of our soul, our inner being, our deep wounds and emotions that we have, that we need that healing balm of the Lord. Those are the things that the world is seeking after, all kinds of things. Medications to alter their minds, trying to get them back on track. And many times they get addicted to them, and then it causes them to take some more things. And before long, they're a helpless case. Some take their lives and or take someone else's lives. And that's not God's plan. But this wonderful plan of salvation is for every aspect of our life. And here we have in Psalms 31, verses 19 and 20. It says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." You see, this was David writing this. And he got a hold of something, did he not? Because he knew how great God was. To the extent he had, well, we'll put it this way. When you're forgiven much, then you should forgive greatly. But when you realize that the deep pit that God has brought you out of, it really brings you into a perspective of who you were and who you are and who God is. And it makes you want to, or it should anyway, have mercy and compassion upon others. You understand what I'm saying? There's scriptures to back that up. But the point is, David realized how many tight corners, how many times his back was against the wall, how many times where he felt truly outnumbered and truly felt like he was, there's no way out of this. Remember the time he was in the cave? And here comes King Saul. And he's thinking, uh-oh, this is it. God preserved him. But it's these times that David is reflecting upon and saying, "How great is thy goodness." And it says, "Which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Bringing us back to what I talked about this morning. David truly feared and reverenced God. Did he not? And I believe that was the key to his success. Well, it goes on. Verse 20. It says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence. From the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Now I want to focus two different things here. First of all, I want to focus on the pavilion part. To hide them and keep them secretly in a pavilion. What is a pavilion? Anyone tonight? What's a pavilion?
Shelter.
Yes. Shelter. And in this time era, a tent, a tabernacle, basically. And we'll ask it this way. How many times have you been in a tent? Whether it's, say, a tent revival or even a camping tent or whatever type of tent. But the point is, they're relatively small. And you're in close quarters with everyone else that is in there. It's not like some big open space where some big, you know, 5-acre building, you know, or just a wide open territory. But it's in close quarters. And I look at it this way, that you're in close quarters with the Lord where He's keeping an eye on you. He's nearby to where nothing's going to surprise him. And that's where his presence is. So you remember the tabernacle, the pillar, the cloud, his presence that would come down was obvious to all the children of Israel. And even to the heathens are like, wow, there's something going on there. Okay. And we can't touch that. We can't mess with that because that's God's presence. All right. But to be in a place like that, in God's presence, in a tabernacle, close quarters, where we can feel Him next to us, that's a safe place to be, is it not? Is there anything else we should fear, as in be afraid of, when we're in that close proximity? I say no. So in this pavilion, this safe place, then what's he going to do? He says, thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep him secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. We'll look at it this way. From the pride of man and from the strife of tongues. Simply meaning those things or people or circumstances, whatever it may be, that are your enemy. Those things, because just look at it this way. The pride of man. How many times does someone's pride cause a problem for you? Multiple times. I mean, I don't think I have to list out a lot of particulars here, but, and then what about the strife of tongues? How many times has that been a problem, a difficulty for you? Those things are natural to everyday life, okay? And King David here experienced a lot of these things where, okay, King Saul was full of pride, was he not? That, because David was being doted on, you know, the King Saul killed his thousands, but King David had killed his 10,000s. And Saul's going, that ain't fair. That's not right. I'm going to take care of this. You see, the pride of man, all right? Getting in the way, it's just basically self. That's all it amounts to. Someone full of self that's going to try to wreak havoc upon your life. Now, albeit God will allow things, okay, to happen in our lives to test us, to try us, to bring us forth as gold. I acknowledge that. But there's also the side of it where are you going to allow, and we spoke about this some a while back, we talked about loving our enemies, that really they are not directly your enemy. It's the enemy of your soul, Satan, that is desiring to sift us as wheat, as he did with Peter. That's the real enemy behind all of that. But here it is, God is saying, I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to hide you. When Satan comes along in all his little tricky ways, tricky avenues through whatever aspect to get to you, all right, to grind you to powder. So, I mean, whatever the case is, that he says, I'm going to hide you. But there is a condition here. It's to those, as we read earlier, that have found the secret of his presence and that fear the Lord and trust him. That's the condition. And so all these, this covenant that God has given us, he's saying, I've got all these promises. I'm going to preserve you, protect you, hide you from the enemy. I'm going to prosper you in all your ways. You see, God's going to do all these things for us. But the condition is, you must fear me. You must reverence me. You must obey my command. It's so simple, so elementary, but it's so absolutely necessary. When we get outside that pavilion, when we get outside the presence of the Lord, where he is meeting, where he is blessing, just like with the children of Israel of old, in the tabernacle and the temple, when they got outside of that safety realm, watch out. Anything is possible. But that should challenge us. Oh Lord, help me to stay close by your side. That you would protect me, protect my soul, my spirit from those evil spirits out there that are lurking about. All right? To kill, to steal, and to destroy us. And not only our own souls, it's our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, the unsaved loved ones in our lives are like, oh Lord, do you realize if we step out of this pavilion, this safety, that their souls are in jeopardy perhaps because of us? That's quite a responsibility. I actually kind of shudder to think of that. I have two children of my own. Lord, help me. But I take great comfort in knowing that God is interested in every little aspect, every little detail. If we're there in this pavilion, he sees and knows everything about us anyway. And so he knows when we're resisting, you know, what, oh, well, I don't know about that commandment, that promise, or I'm like, well, can that really be true? Lord, can you really do that? What about that? No, God sees all that. He's like, just trust me. Just let me be God. Just fear and reverence me. That's the secret to all of this. It's so simple, really. The plan of salvation is so simple. But let's all be encouraged tonight. And as the week comes, and then the next several weeks, we close out the rest of this year. We've had a lot of camp meetings this summer, and there's been some revivals and different meetings. And maybe I should put it this way as a personal challenge to myself, that we would get ever closer to the Lord, that we can hear that still small voice, that we be close in His pavilion, that that's where that perfect protection is going to be. That's where He's going to give us that gentle nudge saying, no, I want you to do this, or don't do that, or whatever the case is. And if we stay within that pavilion, what did He say He's going to do? He's going to hide us, and He's going to keep us secretly in a safe, hidden place, in the cleft of the rock. Hide us with His hand, and no one else can touch us. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we have in this joyous opportunity to serve the Lord. And this is a secret. How can I word this? Let's not keep this a secret. You understand what I'm saying? That let's be willing to share it. Let's be willing to tell the good news to the lost and dying world. It, as simple as it may be, to someone on the job, to someone in your family that's not saved, to someone at the grocery store, just doing the simple deeds of kindness. Remember that little phrase, what would Jesus do? All right. What's the other one? The scripture talking about, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it even unto me. Oh, that gets close quick. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I've messed up on that. But Lord, help us. That's what being a Christian is all about. To be Christ-like. To share the good news of the gospel. To give them a smile. A simple little smile. Let them go first. All right? Whatever they can. Just a deed of kindness. Someone need some cash. Someone needs some food. Someone need a pat on the back. Someone need a hug. Whatever the case is. Don't keep it a secret. Be willing to share the good news of the gospel. That others may share in that secret as well. You pray for me that I would do that and be faithful to the Lord.